coming through, guys. Did I turn it on right? You guys in the back? Okay. Thank you. So I was asked to bring a message about the devotion of God's Word. And again, this is not something new that we do. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to be devoted to God's Word. This is what we do. This just reflects what we've been doing, and I see myself here to encourage us to continue to doing that in deeper and deeper ways with our own spiritual walks, but with others around us. I'm very passionate about God's Word, but you know, asking to speak on something as all-encompassing as God's Word is it's a little overwhelming, to be honest. So I'm going to start out with prayer this morning, that God will speak through me, and you guys will have ears to hear what He's saying through me, although I may not remember anything I said today. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. So many promises about it that we're going to look at today, we're very familiar with. Lord, we don't want to treat it lightly. We want to treat it with all reverence and respect that is due Your Word. One of the things that You left us with, Your Word and Your Spirit, Father. So very important to me, very important for this body to continue to grow and press in into what You have for us in Your Word. So Lord, this morning, let my words be Your words. Let the hearers be the hearers of Your Word and not of me. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Well, guys, I don't know. Last time I spoke, I brought these keys. I don't know if anybody remembered those. They're keys to things that I don't know what they go to anymore. Maybe I did at one time. I probably did. I don't know why I would have kept them. But they're not organized in any manner. I don't know any purposes, why they what they unlock, what they start, what they lock, what they don't. It's just a conglomeration. It looks kind of ugly. I did tell you about a Christmas present that Jeannie bought for me, and because she knows that most of my keys look like that. But here is the organized set of keys. My wife was so gracious and knew that I needed that. Well, if we think about that, and we think about the Word of God. Now, I know what every key on here goes for because there's a label there. I've used it. I know what it opens, what it unlocks, what it starts, what it stops, what's inside, whatever I'm unlocking. God's Word is a lot like this. Granted, this is just man's version of organization and of trying to keep things in the right place, in the right perspective, to be used for the right thing. God's Word is perfect in that way. His Word has so much to speak to us about. And I will tell you, when I first became a believer, I was confused and a little bit dismayed. It's part of my testimony. Before I became a believer, Jeannie gave me a Bible for Christmas before March when I became a believer and placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I was excited, but that was the first Bible I've ever owned. And it was one of those big, Ryrie study Bibles, guys. I mean, the biggest book I'd ever read was probably a magazine before that. And you look at that thing, and it is filled with stuff. But His Word is not just, as I viewed it early on, I viewed it as an instruction booklet, which I'm not saying it's not, and I viewed it as a knowledge text, which I'm not saying it's not, but it's more than that. And it was not until years later that I really understood after I've read through the Scriptures continually that His Word is living, and He says it in His Word, and He says it is life-giving. So as we live and He's imparting those truths to us, But I was looking at it and originally reading it kind of in this vacuum of what I thought knowledge or instruction would be. I'm a very literal person. I don't, fiction is something that I don't grasp very well. So I try to put everything into my category in this vacuum of a single lens. And to be honest with you, when Jeannie gave me that Bible and I started reading it, what didn't confuse me scared the heck out of me. And I still read things that I wonder about and ponder about, and I think we all do. You know, just as I started reading, I had this very narrow vision. Either what I was reading was positive, something that's good, or negative, something that's not good. I mean, you look at the first 11 chapters of Genesis, right? And you look at it, 1 through 3, he creates the universe and mankind. Wow. I mean, that just blows you away. Then in Genesis 7, he destroys all but Noah. What? What's going on with that? And then in 10, he multiplies Noah's family. Oh, good news. We got things going right way. And then in Genesis 11, 7, he confuses their language and separates them. So it's going all kinds of different directions, positive and negative and positive and negative. And if you read about, you know, even think about people like just Old Testament people that were just terrible, right? People are lying, they're cheating, they're going around people's back and they're putting people to death. And then you get to the kings and judges and most of those guys were just terrible actors in dealing. You're going, what's going on with this? But I needed to enlarge my vision of what God was doing. And we can't enlarge a vision unless we know what the whole vision is. So Genesis through Revelation, I came to find out after years, literally years of contemplating, reading, studying God's word. There's some other things about interpreting and how we do that. But how we perceive God's word is going to lead us into how we study God's word, how we interpret God's word, and how we apply God's word to our life. But Genesis through Revelation, God is revealing his plan and his purpose. So you can't just take God creates earth and then he destroys it as one kind of thing, because that leaves you without the rest of the story, without how the story ends, right? What God's plan and purpose was in the end. And then we come to how do we interpret the Bible? And a lot of it has to do is how we see the Bible, is how we perceive it, what it's useful for. And until I started understanding that it was living and life-giving, I was trying to use it as a pure instruction book or to gain knowledge out of. And I'm not saying you can't gain those things out of it, but it's not just that thing. It's just not those two things. It's all-encompassing. I think we can all agree that Scripture can be difficult and sometimes possible to understand. You know, we all read theologians that have different perspectives about different scriptures. There's some things that, as we interpret scripture, there's some things that that I think we need to keep in mind. Interpret scripture in view of all other scripture. So this simply means that scripture must harmonize. The Orthodox Christian view of the Bible is that it's not an error. It doesn't contradict itself. It is a continuing word of God, and God does not contradict himself. Therefore, when trying to examine one passage, we must approach it with an eye to the whole scripture. If we look at Genesis 3, Adam and Eve fall, but God's got a plan. We don't really see that plan until we get to about Revelation 1 or 2 or 3, somewhere right there. We don't actually understand the whole plan until we until we've read to the end of the story, if you will. And he does have a plan, and he does have a purpose. And if you look at the whole scripture, for me, what's really been impressed on me is redemption. He is there, and he is redeeming. Even in the bad and the good in Genesis, right? He's redeeming, and he's redeeming, and he's redeeming some more. So 2 Timothy was read this morning. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Why? Why is that? For redemption. Here's the redemption. That the man of God may be complete. We're being redeemed, guys. He's redeeming us through his word. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're redeemed to do good works. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on here, about what does good works mean. Good works can mean a lot of things. I think God uses the scripture in a lot of ways to impart to us good works for our own lives and for the lives that are ones around us and for the lives of the ones that don't know him yet, okay? So there's good works there. And not that our salvation is based on good works. Our salvation is only based on faith and the grace of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. I don't want to confuse that. I want to make sure that I'm clear on that. We also interpret scripture in the context of the entire message being communicated. We're studying in Revelation, said at Bible Study Fellowship. And to be honest with you, it's been a real eye-opener for me about what God's sharing through that whole book of Revelation. I think we're up to chapter 17 or something like that. Well, I kind of read ahead, Sid, I'm sorry to say. Do what? Yeah. I read ahead to Revelation 20, 15. And this is exactly what I'm talking about, taking things out of context. Revelation 20, 15 says, anyone found not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Pretty scary, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty harsh. What you got to know is, from the beginning of the book of Revelation, God is writing to his church first, saying, hey, here's some things I got against you. All you got to do is repent and be redeemed. Just repent. Over and over and over to all seven churches. He's writing, say, repent. And then you start in with this pretty harsh-looking symbolism of God's wrath. But even in there, he's going, okay, here comes some wrath. Will you repent now? Will you repent? Will you be redeemed? So if we took just Revelation 20:15 and pulled it out and set it aside and handed it to somebody, I'm not saying it's not true, but it's not the whole story. It's not what God's overall intent is. If we don't understand God as a God of love, but also a God of justice, what is love if it's unjust? It's not love. What is justice if it doesn't have love involved in it? So in the context of the book of Revelation, and you can pull this out on different levels throughout the Old and New Testaments, that we need to interpret scripture in the context of at least the entire message, if not, at some points, the entire scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And I think those are two important ways that we interpret scripture. But I think one of the most important ways, it has been for me, is pray. Pray during, pray before, pray after reading, and asking God, what are you telling me here? What are you telling me here? Now, I will explain this part next because I think a little people were confused last time. I've handed out some scripture verses to certain folks in the audience. So they're not quicker in looking up scripture verses than you are, but they already have it in their hand and they're ready to read it. So this is part of what we use God's word for as good works, that people are bringing scripture to the group and revealing that word to them. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. But I was talking about praying before, during, and after not only reading Scripture, but interpreting Scripture and asking God, God, reveal to me. And somebody have Psalm 139, 23, and 24? Matt, was that you?
Yeah.
All right.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
You know, there's a lot of prayers that are offered up in the Scripture. This one, for me, really hits home. It really strikes a chord. We all know that we have things in our life that we don't confess to our wives. We have things in our lives that, you know, we're ashamed of. We don't confess to our good friends, our close folks. We even have some things in our lives that what I'm going to call blind spots that we are not even aware of. Maybe our wives are aware of it. Maybe our good friends are aware of it. Maybe the people we work with are aware of it. But until we become aware of it and really ask God to reveal that to us, then we're going to go around oblivious. We're going to go around probably hurting people, damaging people, not talking soothing words to them. For me, this is what strikes home. But until I understand the sin that dwells within me, I need to understand that first before I can confess it to God and ask Him to forgive me for it. But it's also before I can confess it to my wife or confess it to my friend. Or anytime we have an opportunity to let God's word change us. So how we perceive God's word and how we interpret God's word really bears a big responsibility on how do we use God's word to change us. Or should I say, how God uses God's word to change us. And there's a couple places that I know I need to be changed continually. How do I allow, or how do we allow, God's word into our thoughts, our hearts, or our souls or spirit? Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." I don't know about you guys, but if I want anybody kind of splitting some joints and mirrors, I don't think you want to use a sword on it. I'm more apt to kind of succumb to maybe a scalpel. But that's how powerful God's word is. It's like a sword that's going to separate the joints and the marrow. Sounds painful, and I don't know if you guys can recognize this, but I will tell you and confess to you that at times it's been very painful for me. Spiritually painful, emotionally painful. I know sometimes that, not very often, but God has revealed something to me through His word that almost made me feel sick to my stomach, physically sick, physically ill. He revealed something in me that I probably had done to someone else that really harmed them, that really damaged them, that really hurt them. And maybe I knew about it. I probably did. But maybe I wasn't ready to think it was my fault, right? Oh, they're just that way and they deserve that. Well, no, that's not what God's word says. He says that we act like him. We initiate love. And when we're not initiating love, we're not acting like God wants us to act. We're not using the power of the Spirit and his word to motivate us to initiate love. Because remember, guys, he forgave us while we were still sinners. That's a whole mindset change that that I still have a tough time with, to be honest. Who has Romans 12:2? I think somebody gave Romans 12:2. Yeah, Jake.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So we're changing our hearts, even our joints and marrow through God's word, but also renewing of our mind. Thanks, Jason, this morning. The script or some of the songs you had really fell in line there. We hadn't talked, but just a God thing when I saw that, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind in that song. One of my favorite songs, by the way. Thank you. It blessed me this morning. But our minds need to be renewed as well as our spirits. We need to think about things in with these lenses. I talked earlier about, I had this single lens, this vacuum focus. My lenses on my glasses are like, for one thing, it's kind of look out there and see you guys. If I do this, it all kinds of gets a little blurry. But God's lenses are very clear. And his lenses are all the way through here. How he sees things, not how we see things. How he wants us to see things. How he sees us. How he sees the person sitting next to you. I would venture to say that I don't see the person sitting next to me like Christ or God sees the person sitting next to me probably about 90% of the time. I see them through my lenses, which are man-made lenses, which are fallen lenses, which are lenses that are corrupt. But those lenses can be modified, just like your lenses in your glasses. You know, progressively my sight has gotten worse as I've gotten older. So what do? They don't grind it as much as they used to. They light up on the grind and it gets thicker and thicker and thicker where you can see better. And so God's word is like that grind. He's refining our vision. He's refining our lenses through his word and through his spirit. Now, if I just stopped going getting my vision checked or getting new prescriptions when I need them, everything would become pretty cloudy. Everything would become kind of muted. God doesn't want us to have a muted view of one another. He doesn't want us to have a muted view of him. He wants us to have a crystal clear. So as we continue to grind on our lenses with the word of God, our view should, and the whole word of God, should become more and more and more clear. Now, am I telling you I understand everything that's written between Genesis and Revelation? No. In fact, the more I see in here, the more I have to scratch my head a lot of it still. But I'm trusting God is going to continue, if I'm submitting to himself, to submitting to him, that he's going to continue to show me things that I haven't seen before. That lens is getting clearer and clearer. So moving to the application. So the application of God's plan and purpose for his word. I think we read that earlier in some ways in 2 Timothy for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I'd also like to submit to you guys today that it be for protection. Protection of ourselves and the way we think about things. Protection when we read the Word of God, that we start protecting people around us and seeing them like God sees them. One of my big things for the Word of God is encouragement. I think He speaks to us in His Word and encourages me, and hopefully is encouraging you. But also, as He speaks the Word of God to me, as I read it, pray about it, interpret it, ask Him to reveal it to me, then I can share that with someone else, which would be an encouragement to them in the place that God has them. So God doesn't work in this vacuum. He doesn't work with this, with our single lens vision. He works in the body of Christ. And that's here at GBF. That's outside these walls. So I think there's at least twofold things that God wants to do. His purpose and His plan for His Word. We talked a little bit about it, other. But somebody have Proverbs? I know somebody has Proverbs 11, 14. Was that you, Kit? Okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Fernando.
Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Ephesians 4, 14 and 16. Jeannie? So Fernando read about their safety in many counselors. As we're reading God's Word and as we're going to other people and going, hey, I'm really struggling with this. I'm fearful of that. I'm really anxious about this one thing. There's safety in many counselors. And if many counselors are in God's Word, they're going to be speaking truth into that person. And that person's going to find safety there in those many counselors. Jeannie's talking about speaking truth in love, that we're all growing up. But what I like about that, Ephesians 4, 14 and 16 is that it says that every joint supply according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Okay, every part. That's from the front row to the back row to the kids ministry, outside the walls, in the parking lot. We're all part of this. We're all part of us, each one of us, growing into maturity for Christ.
Amen.
And then it is a protector. It's a helmet. Ephesians 6, 17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
So we can protect ourselves and we can defend ourselves. So the helmet is protection. The sword is defense. So we're being protected and defended. There are many more things in here. I mean, the scriptures go on and on. And what I want to encourage you guys to do, this is just three of them. I want to encourage you to share what God has spoken to you through His Word. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was a month ago. But we have to start these conversations with one another to do that. And so I printed out a little thing here. How do we start those conversations? You know, do we want to know, well, how was your week? Okay. But how about this question? How's your walk with the Lord? What are you encouraged about? What are you struggling with? Maybe something like, how's the Lord been working in your life recently? We start those conversations, and God uses His Word and His Spirit to encourage one another, to build one another up. What are you reading? What are you learning? Are there any verses or promises of truth that you've been meditating on? I mean, that's another thing I didn't even talk about, is meditating on God's word. How about, tell me about your prayer life. What are you praying about? Where have you seen God answering your prayers? Man, what an encouragement. We do praise and prayer here. If you go back through those books and emails, you can see God working in a lot of different ways. Do we really talk about that with one another? Are we talking about a football game? Or are we talking about what we did on Saturday? Engage one another. That's what God's word's there. It's there for us to engage one another, not in a threatening way, but in an encouraging way, but in a lifting up way, in a safe place, because there's safety there in many counselors. You know, and depending on how well you know the person, what sins you've been struggling with, what temptations are you facing right now? What are some of your biggest trials? What are your biggest troubles? For me, that's hard questions, guys, but they're valid. Not one of us are sitting in here and saying something doesn't come to mind at some of those questions. How do we share that? Well, we speak the truth in love. Just the Ephesians chapter says, we speak the truth in love. Not out of condemnation, not out of desire to embarrass, but a desire to help, to lift up, to encourage, to make well. So we're sharing the word of God with one another in the body of Christ. That's not just here in this building. That's the universal body of Christ. You run across somebody at HEB, wherever, you can share that. But also God's purpose and plan for his word, I believe, is we share the word, the gospel, to those that don't know Christ yet. There's nothing more powerful than the word of God. Of course, we all know John 3, 16 and 17. I've handed that out to somebody. Thanks, Alvin. You know, revelation to me, God loved the world, the whole stinking thing. There's some ugly parts out there. I've seen them. Y'all have seen them. There's some beautiful parts out there. How do you love something ugly and something beautiful at the same time? Sometimes it's beyond me. It's way beyond me. But God says that he loved the world. And he also said that he didn't want to condemn anybody. I think one of my pitfalls, to be honest with you, is when I'm sharing the gospel, maybe with somebody that thinks God is a God of wrath and he wants to condemn you. That's one of my hesitations, to be honest with you. But that's not what it says here. It says God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world... So, if we're sharing Jesus with somebody on the street and they get this defensive motion like, oh, he's going to come at me and tell me I'm going to hell. God didn't come here to condemn you. He came here to save you. And the truth of his word, just John 3:16. We also have Romans 10:9. I handed that out to somebody. How simple is that, Travis? It's just that simple. We don't have to make it a big theological construct. I firmly believe, at least this was my experience, maybe anecdotal, but when God revealed himself to me, did I have this theological knowledge that spanned from Genesis to Revelation? No. Nowhere near. That was that step, that first step that I took. And at times I'll tell you that I'm not taking steps when I should have taken steps toward God. I've been stagnant. Early on in leading my family, I've been stagnant in pursuing God. I regret all that. But God did not come here to condemn me for that. He saved me, and He wants me to take that next step. And I think He wants all of us to take that next step. And we also have 1 John 5, 11, and 12. Somebody have that? Troy. I know you guys know many other scriptures that tell about the salvation of Jesus Christ, His love, His sacrifice, His death, His resurrection, and His ascension that covers it all. I encourage you to find one of those verses. Find two of them. Put them in your pocket. Put them in your head. And the next guy, person you come across that you think God's leading you to share that with, just share it with them. Just that simple. So in this practice of talking to one another, I've asked four people here to share what God has revealed to them in their life in the last week or so. And Steve, I want Steve's volunteered to do that. Steve, you want to kind of share what God's a scripture and what God's revealed for you personally in that?
So, a lot of people know my testimony, just driving down the road, God changed me completely, and, you know, being saved was a radical thing, and, you know, but Isaiah 55, you know, well, what's funny is, and so, you know, I spent time in my little house, and I just talked to God. I was talking to my mom, and I just talked to God. And so He changes our heart, but the Word changes our mind.
And so Isaiah, what do you have in Isaiah?
Accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing
Thank you for sharing that, Steve. Liana, you are you still willing to share something this morning? There you are.
I can't speak very loudly, so this helps. So Bubba didn't talk to us about what to say, so I always find it very interesting how the Spirit coordinates what our messages are in, you know, as a body of believers. So I wanted to read a couple of verses and share what God's been telling me lately. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. So I've been reading Genesis, actually, and Exodus, and how Abraham was promised that he would be the father of a great nation and be given the promised land. But he never saw that promise fulfilled in his life, and his children and his grandchildren didn't fully see that promise. And how their faith through the generations carried that promise. And for me, I don't even know my great-grandparents' names. I don't know what their faith looks like. And we live in such a culture now of, like, fast food faith, where everything is supposed to be super quick, instant gratification, and immediate results. And I'm definitely guilty of times in the past when I didn't see my prayers answered, and I struggled to believe God was even listening or cared. And I've asked for forgiveness over that, but the Israelites in the desert, how they saw many miracles and yet continued to complain. But the last few years, and especially just recently, I've been thinking about what faith is, which is to believe in God even if you don't understand what's happening, to know that his ways are higher than our ways, and even on our good days and our bad days. And the last thing I was just going to say is, as things unfold, as we get closer to the return of Jesus, things aren't going to look the way that we necessarily expect them to in our personal lives and worldwide. So just continuing to lean into God's understanding and not our own. And then just the last verse I was going to read is, but beloved, do not forget that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any of us should perish, and that we should all come to repentance. 2 Peter 8:8-9.
Thank you for sharing that, Liana. Kit, did you have something you want to share with us quickly? Yeah.
As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through discussion. And it's been really helpful for me. I struggle a lot with pride. I've always gotta have that big head and all the wonderfulness that, or not wonderfulness that comes with it, but just understanding that humbling aspect. And
right. What an encouragement. Thank you for sharing that, Kit. Monica, I think it's the last one that's kind of accepted this. Monica, what does the Lord have you shared today with us?
Humility. Christ's example of pouring out his life for us that we were, that we had. So I've been studying John, and I'm going to read John 14, 25 through 31, and then share a verse from Psalms as well. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Your word that I have said to you, you heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now, I told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up and let's go from here. He's talking to his disciples.
Right.
But in Psalms 25:9, he leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his way. So the Lord teaches me in different ways he may teach you, but he does it in repetition for me.
Okay.
So I hear multiple times this week about humility and pouring myself out, and Christ's example of how he poured his life out for us, that he did it exactly as his Father commanded him, to the T, to the cross, and then through resurrection. And now he sits with the Father. Can we have that heart as Christ to be responsive to his direction in life of what he has called us to do, to pour out ourselves out, whether we work at home or work in the office? We can get skills that we're good at, and we take those for granted, and we do those repetitively, and we forget those are skills that God gave us to honor him, and get a little full of ourselves at times. So he comes back with the message on humility this week.
Right. Yeah.
And God is good, and he teaches us through the Holy Spirit, so keep reading his word. And I look at what I prayed about for today as far as the driving to Austin. That's my time with the Lord. I've got an hour plus of hearing his word pouring in my life.
Yeah, you told me that on Thursday, that you use that time to listen to God's word as you drive in. What a great time. Thank you for sharing that, Monica, and thank all those that shared today. It's not easy to, all the time, to open up to one another, to go out in the community, tell people about Jesus' sacrifice, about his love for them. I don't think he called us to be easy, but he did call us. And he called us like his son called us, to do exactly what he wants us to do. And the more we read, the more we can. Dana.
So I've been talking to these two girls. One of them lost their twin daughter. This morning I was there kind of saying goodbye to everyone. I've been going there for like 20 years. And so she gave me a big hug and she said, I wanted to thank you for all of your prayers that you've been praying for me in the last 2 years. She said, there has been so many miracles in my life. And that made me feel good because I know God works. Mm. He works. It may not be when you think it's supposed to work, or you tell someone and they don't change, but you don't know if, you know, one word you said down the road changed their whole life 2 years from then. It might not be that moment, but they might say, oh my God, I remember what that person told me. And it made me feel good because I actually brought someone to the Lord without really like struggling to do so. They just kind of accepted on their own by being prayed for.
Thanks for sharing that, Dana. Yeah, we never know what we're sharing and how it's going to affect people, but we do know God makes a promise that his word will not return void. So my encouragement to you guys is to claim that truth and proclaim it not only to these here among us, but to those outside these walls. Father God, we thank you for your word. It's all encompassing. Father, let it continue to change us, to rearrange us, to conform us, to transform us, to sharpen us, to give us humility, to give us understanding. Father, that we may boldly profess and proclaim who you are to one another and to the world around us. Father, it's only by your Spirit we pray these things and through your Son's name. Amen.